This evening, I'd like to talk about being patient. My wife would say probably I'm the last person to deliver such a message, but it's more than that. I'm really taking it to the next level and saying about being patient with God. So that's my heading, be patient with God. The great New England preacher, Philip Brooks, was noted for his poise and quiet manner. At times, however, even he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Throughout the book, James contended that faith produces authentic deeds. In other words, if those who call themselves God's people truly belong to him, their lives will produce some godly fruit. James rather rails against the hypocritical believer who says one thing and does another. Much of what he writes is exhorting Christians to keep their distance from the world, to be unstained by the world, and to have our main focus on God. Of course, the reality is that we so often fail in this endeavor. We are easily enticed into pursuing all kinds of pleasure and prestige that the world freely offers us. We're attracted by those things because, well, they're immediate. They're right in front of us. And in an age of instant gratification, well, they're difficult to resist. But you see, James wants us to be doers of the word. He wants us to be doers because doers shall be blessed, he says in chapter 1, verse 25. James wants us to submit to God, chapter 4, verse 7. He wants us to draw near to God, chapter 4, verse 8. And he wants us to pursue the Lord's will, chapter 4, verse 15. And now here in chapter 5, James gives us one of the keys to doing all of this. And friends, it is patience. Patience. Now, you might be thinking, well, patience is not so much an action as it is more of a sitting back and waiting. And I suppose in one sense you have a point. Patience does imply an absence of doing and more of sitting back and waiting. But I would counter that and suggest that being patient is an action in of itself. To wait, to be patient, is an action that we actually make a decision to do. We decide to do that. We decide to be patient. So it is an action. So although patience implies an absence of acting, and the very decision to wait and be patient is, as I say, an act itself. And on some occasions, it's a very important decision to make, to wait, to be patient. And as I say, it's an action that I'm not always too good at. But it sounds like I'm not the only one. Margaret Thatcher once said, "I am an extraordinarily patient woman, provided I get my own way in the end." Yet one could rightly say that a living faith should demonstrate and promote patience. Indeed, we know that patience is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, Galatians 5, 22-23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here's a definition that seems to capture the biblical meaning. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. I'll say that again. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. So throughout this letter, James has laid out a series of practical tests and standards of living for a vital faith. And patience is certainly one of the things for a vital faith. It is something we all need. Indeed, God tells us this through his prophet, James. Now, I think all Christians, whatever denomination, would agree that God is in complete control of his creation. I hope all Christians would agree with that. Because, well, if he's not, he's not God. So since God is in control, the proper response of Christians is to seek God and to trust God with everything. Everything. And we do this by giving the Lord control of everything. We trust him fully, whatever the situation is, good, bad, indifferent, we trust God. In James 4:7, we are admonished to submit to God or to give God control. Now, here's the problem. Because we are worldly, even when we give control to God, we rather expect or almost certainly want the results to happen pretty quick. Sometimes we want them to happen immediately. And of course, quite often for most of us, results are not always that quick in coming. And because of this, because of doing God's will does not always yield instant results, James exhorts us to be patient. Now, don't get me wrong here. This isn't some moral sermon on patience from the Apostle James. He isn't concerned about whether we sit in queues for hours and how we handle that. And I have to say, if I have to sit in a queue for longer than 10 minutes, I become Mr. Grumpy. This has nothing to do with that. The patience that James calls for is of a specific nature. When James says be patient, he is exhorting us to be patient with regards to the will of God. Too often we rush and embrace what the world offers us rather than seeking to submit to God, rather than submitting to his will, as James urges us to do in chapter 4. And for the results of this submission, we must be patient, friends. We've got to be patient with God. And what I mean by that is God works to his timetable, not to ours. Remember 2 Peter 3, 8 to 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repent. Now, I'm sure many of you know what it's like to take a long trip in a car with young children. On such a trip, one of the most frequently asked questions by children is, you've got it, you've heard it, are we there yet? Do you know what, in a sense, we can be a bit like young children with our hopes for immediate blessings from God. We go to church and we ask, are we there yet? We read our Bible and ask, are we there yet? We pray, maybe a little bit more than usual, and we ask, are we there yet? Possibly, we may even do some really good deeds and ask, come on, Lord, are we there yet? Like children on a long trip, we can easily become so impatient with God. But we must remember, this is not just a trip of a lifetime. This is a trip for a lifetime. And this is why James tells us, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, verse 7. So, to be frank, we have to accept the fact that we may be waiting for results that actually we will never see in this lifetime. And just because we may not see any final results, this does not give us an excuse to stop and do nothing at all. Serving, supporting the local church is still very much a necessary requirement. Regular habits of Bible study and prayer, they're not optional for the Christian. It's actually the oxygen that we need to breathe as Christians. Mr. Spurgeon rightly put it, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens within our years. As Christians, we do need to keep on keeping on. The Bible and prayer is as important today as it has always been. A.W. Tozer said, an honest man with an open Bible and a pad and a pencil is sure to find what is wrong with him very quickly. But you see, the big problem today is that too fewer people are reading the Bible. Too few are reading the Bible. Now, I know that the Bible can be a difficult read sometimes, but it is important. In fact, it is essential because it points to the only Saviour this world will ever have. It's the Word of God. Maybe even for us as Christians to read the Bible, we need to be a bit more patient. To humbly ask God to help us read, to actually hear Him speak to us through His Word. The renowned Renaissance artist Michelangelo wrote, genius is eternal patience. We probably all need some eternal patience in our life. James gives us an example of patience in verse 7. He says this, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Now, I'm sure none of us would picture the farmer sitting inside all day watching daytime television, feet up and drinking tea. Don't think that's how we picture any of our farmers. We don't picture a farmer that simply does nothing but has a peek outside and how's my crop doing? A farmer has to prepare the soil before the planting of the seeds. And with some crops, he must till the soil. Some plants and fruit trees, they need to be pruned. The farmer does a great deal to help the growth. But at the end of the day, the farmer recognizes that he cannot cause the growth. So the farmer has to be patient. He has to wait for things beyond his control. He has to be patient for the rain, or in some cases, he has to be patient for the rain to stop, as some farmers would tell you. As a farmer works and waits for growth, so a Christian does likewise, striving for godliness. To be more like Jesus, waiting and praying for spiritual growth, both in ourselves and for those that we love. I've been praying for my daughter for years. And I know some of you have prayed for people for years. Keep praying. Be patient. Like many early Christians, James had the conviction that the return of the Lord Jesus could be any minute. I think that's an excellent conviction to have. We should have that conviction. I might not get to the end of this sermon. Some of you might say, oh, we're rather pleased with that. I don't know. But we never know when the Lord's going to return. Nearly 2,000 years later, some might say that James, you were mistaken. James was not mistaken. James lived like the Lord could come at any minute, and he can. The Apostle Paul lived like Christ could return at any moment, but neither Paul nor James ever insisted that Christ had to return in their lifetime. They, like Jesus while on earth, did not claim to know the day of the hour. But they lived their lives and they taught others to live their lives as if Jesus could return at any moment. It does not make a difference whether Jesus returns this coming Friday or in another 2,000 years. Paul's admonition. Oh, that still don't sound right. Never mind. Paul said this, be alert. James said, be patient. That still applies. Christian, be alert, be patient. The point is, Jesus will come again. That's a definite. We just don't know when. But he will come again. He came the first time as Saviour. And the New Testament agrees with James when he states that Christ will return again, but this time he's coming as the judge. So being patient does not give us permission to do nothing. James qualifies what it means to be patient in verse 8 when he says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, our heart should most certainly belong to the Lord, shouldn't it? For it is the Lord who has saved us, and he has saved us at such a cost. A cost not to you or I, but a cost to himself. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend, John 15:30. So to establish our heart is to strengthen our relationship with Jesus, our Saviour. And establishing or strengthening our heart requires prayer. It requires attention to Scripture, Christian. Make the effort, please. It also requires something that we can sometimes forget. It requires fellowship with other Christians. Now, I'm not just meaning church attendance on a Sunday. We need fellowship with other Christians during the week, where the purpose of the fellowship is to build one another up. That's the message of Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's the message of 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. It's also the message of nearly all of Ephesians 4. In a nutshell, Jesus wants us to walk more closely with God, to walk more closely with one another. And he wants this to help us to keep the worldly things in its place. And as most of you know, this is not always an easy thing to do. In fact, I find it extremely hard at times. So to achieve this, we must develop our patience and specifically be patient with the will of God. James even gives us some examples, verses 10 to 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Well, the prophets and Job are, of course, fine examples. But should fine examples intimidate us? Well, I don't think they should. Oops. I know that we can read about these biblical characters and sometimes we can be overawed by them. We read of them in Scripture and think, well, they must have been supermen. I'm astounded by Job. Paul asked a very pertinent question. How would we react? How would we react if I faced that? I get grumpy if my computer goes wrong. God, how would we react in all of that horror that happened at one after another? How would we react? To be told to have the patience or endurance of Job can feel almost like being told, well, run up Mount Everest. But this is not the case. These people were not superhuman. God used everyday men with all their fears, with all their faults and failings. Many of them at first lacked patience with God. The prophet Jeremiah, who would not understand what God was doing, asked God, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream as waters that fail? Jeremiah 15, verse 18. Look what Jeremiah said. He had the audacity to equate Almighty God with an unreliable stream. It's Jeremiah. The prophet Elijah is also well known for his complaining. And even Job grumbled and complained and self-righteously proclaimed his innocence before God. Yet, in the end, all of these men are all examples of patience and endurance because they persevered. Even when their outward circumstances caused them to complain and maybe even doubt God, they remained faithful. Complain they did, but they refused to throw in the towel. They never gave up. They never gave up on God, nor should we. Life may well frustrate us at times. God may even frustrate us from time to time. We may wonder, what in the world is God doing with my life? World being the key word. Well, the answer is God is preparing each and every believer in Jesus Christ for eternity. That's what he's doing. Even here tonight, he's preparing us for eternity. He is preparing us for the coming of the Lord. How God manages our earthly affairs may well be a mystery to us. But James leaves us with some good news. Verse 11. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. So, friends, remember, Whatever you're going through, the Lord wants the very best for each and every one of his elect. Every child of God, he wants the best. So let us not arrogantly assume that we know what is best for us. Because at best we see a minute fraction of the whole picture. God sees the lot. He sees the lot. Every detail. As the trials of life and our circumstances might well continue to frustrate us, be comforted by the words of James. Be patient. Strengthen your hearts and know for certain the Lord is full of compassion. So friends, as Christians, let's try to be generally patient, and in particular, let's be patient with God. After all, he's far more patient with us than we ever deserve. You see, a living faith demonstrates patience. Job's endurance and patience was ultimately a spiritual quality built up over time and through all kinds of trying situations. Remember, Job needed patience with God as well as with others as he struggled to understand all the tragedies that were coming into his life, especially those times when God seemed to be silent. Even though he asked God multiple questions, God seemed to be silent. Job was patient. Maybe we can, to some degree, identify with Job's feelings at different times in our lives. The mixed feelings of questions and certainty, despair and hope. And as we take up our personal responsibilities and we rely on God as Job did, God will keep building. He will keep developing our faith. He will develop that beautiful fruit of patience and contentment. Contentment. Christian friends, you should have that. You should have the contentment with whatever you're going through. We are the most blessed people in this world. Be patient with God. Know that whatever you face in this life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God hears your prayers. God answers your prayers. And God is always with you. Ask God to keep on working in your heart so you will truly be a person filled with his patience, displaying the fruits of his spirit. Remember, all things operate according to God's timetable, not ours. So, Christian friend, be patient. No, Jesus is coming again. Until then, until his return, be prepared. Be ready to rejoice at his coming. Amen.